for Gold. We are 126 days away from the opening ceremonies of the Summer Games in Paris. I'm Ryan Burr. Welcome to episode 31. This week, Coco Gauff punched her ticket to Paris. She's now accumulated enough points to qualify as the first U.S. tennis player for the Olympic Games. This week, the tennis superstar also unveiled a new tennis court in her hometown of Delray Beach, Florida, as part of USTA's $3 million U.S. Open Legacy Initiative, which was spurred by her 2023 U.S. Open title. The men's and women's Olympic soccer team groupings are out. The U.S. women are in Group B with Germany, Australia, and either Morocco or Zambia, who have yet to officially qualify. One of those teams will be the first opponent to the U.S. women's national team. On the men's side, the U.S. will kick off its tournament with a match against the home nation, France. Also in that grouping is New Zealand and a still-yet-to-be-determined slot. Head coach Marko Mitrovic spoke to the media following the draw.
First, I believe we have enough talent to compete. That's a starting point. And the second thing, the commitment that players have is also something that is very, very appreciative from the whole staff. And then the excitement, actually, that we have to go to the Olympic Games and the positive vibes, that makes us like a, you know, I would say confident, but also I believe we're going to be ready for the challenges ahead of us in the Olympic Games.
This will be the men's first Olympic appearance since 2008. Fans of the Summer Olympics will get to see the action on the big screen. Thanks to AMC, select theaters will show the games between July 27th and August 11th. AMC enjoyed great success in showing WWE and IFC events, and its theaters did very well streaming concerts like Taylor Swift and Beyonce. Peacock, NBC streaming hub, will release a new feature during the upcoming games that will allow fans a prompt to order food while they watch. It's something they're testing out. This week on Quest for Gold, we speak with women's field hockey standout Maddie Zimmer. The Northwestern University student pushed pause on playing for the Wildcats so she could focus this year on the Olympics.
So I am in Charlotte, North Carolina right now. This is where kind of our headquarters are for USA field hockey. So we have just entered a new training block for our preparation with the Paris Olympics coming up. So we're really excited. We're hosting some games later in April. We're just really excited to kind of be building towards this finally.
Who are you playing against? Are you playing against other American teams or are you playing internationally in this block?
Yeah, so Argentina is actually going to be sending a team up here. We will be playing a couple of scrimmages with them, hosting a clinic, and just kind of we have some connections with the team. So it's really nice way to kind of bring the two field hockey worlds together. And then we will be heading to Belgium and England in May, where we will participate in the FIH Pro League, where we play a series of games against top international opponents. And that's kind of our last prep until we leave for Paris, which will be in the middle of July.
A lot of these other countries, have they also qualified? I mean, are these potential competitors coming up here in July?
Yeah, absolutely. So we play Argentina in our pool in Paris. So it's really cool to be able to train against them a little bit. They're, you know, I think the number two team in the world right now. So it definitely challenges us a little bit. And, you know, when we go to Pro League, those are like the top 10 teams in the world. So to be able to play against that kind of talent and like at that level physically is just really big for us as we prepare for, you know, probably the biggest stage any of us will play on.
That's my question. Is the Olympics the pinnacle of the sport? I'm sure that you've got world tournaments and championships, but are the Olympics kind of the big dog?
Yeah. So there is a Hockey World Cup, but I think as far as just all sports go, the Olympics is absolutely like the highest level that you can achieve. A lot of the same teams will play in the Hockey World Cup. So in terms of competition, it's very similar. You know, the stakes are just as high, but I think because you are with every other sport, you know, representing your country, I think it probably means like a little bit more just with like that national pride. And, you know, whenever you put on that Team USA jersey, knowing that, you know, there's thousands of little girls back home, you know, watching you and hoping they can be you one day.
How did you get into the sport?
So my mom was a two-sport athlete at William & Mary. She played field hockey and lacrosse. And field hockey is a really popular sport in Central PA, which is where I'm from. And so she was like, Maddie, just try it out. And it's really funny because I actually hated the sport when I first started playing, because I was, 7 or 8 years old playing on grass with, and I just wanted to run really fast. And it was really hard to do that. When you're that young, you don't have the skill yet. And so I don't think anybody in my family or like my friends thought they would end up, seeing me play internationally, for field hockey. So it's kind of funny how that has definitely changed. I obviously love the sport now. I definitely wouldn't be playing if I wasn't super passionate, about all aspects of it. So it's just really cool that that's kind of where I got my start. So I always try to tell girls, like, if they're frustrated with it, I didn't like it either. So, just kind of sticking with it.
Is the sport growing? I mean, it seems as though I'm seeing it pop up a lot more. That being said, living in Illinois, I'm not seeing a lot of high schools that have field hockey teams. Is it a growing sport, and how do people get into the sport? Is it park district? Is it club level? How kind of, where's the sport at right now at the amateur level?
Yeah. So it's definitely, in the past, at least, it's primarily been an East Coast, like Northern East Coast sport. So it's really big in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, Delaware. But now that we're based in Charlotte, we've seen a lot of growth with the club programs down here. A lot of us actually help out at the club level. A couple of us coached high school and middle school in North Carolina. So it's really cool to be able to see how much it's growing down here. I've played with girls who were from, we have a couple girls on the team who are from Texas. And so there's kind of a very niche segment of the field hockey world that lives in Texas. It's slowly growing, I think, in like out west. But USA Field Hockey has been developing state chapters for field hockey so that more kids have opportunities to play, lowering the cost of participation, making it accessible, to kids of all backgrounds and demographics. So I think it's been really cool to see how the sport has grown even since I was young. Primarily you'd only hear about and play with girls from your area. And to kind of be able to see it on like a national level now, as it's growing, it's pretty cool.
Well, and you were one of the best, you're part of the, one of the best programs at Northwestern. And I, once again, living in the Chicago area, I always knew that field hockey was big at Northwestern. It looks like it really catapulted your career. Talk about the collegiate level of field hockey.
Yeah. I mean, obviously Northwestern in the past has been a super solid program. I think that in the past couple of years, we've had a solid run of like 3 championship games in a row with winning one in 2021. And I think it's just kind of proving to the hockey, world that, it's not just an East Coast sport, we're kind of trying to grow it out in the Midwest. And I think it's really unique that Northwestern, is kind of like a small school relative to some of the other teams that we play. Obviously we've got Tracy Fuchs, arguably the best field hockey player America has seen. So when she's at the helm, you've got a good thing going. But it's just really cool to be able to play collegiately. The speed is so quick. The level of play is just getting higher and higher the more I watch it. I didn't play this past season because I took the year off to train for qualification for the Olympics. But I got the opportunity to watch a lot. And it was super interesting to see the game from that point of view and just how much it's grown. And it's super exciting. And I'm really, really excited to go back next year.
Yeah. I know we always talk about NIL money for basketball and football players. I mean, are there opportunities in field hockey for sponsorship deals? And I don't know, what did that look like when NIL came on board?
Yeah, so obviously they're not to the scale that some of those revenue generating sports are, but there are plenty of opportunities for field hockey athletes and other athletes in like non-revenue sports. A lot of us on the team have stick deals. So I signed with STX, which is an American based hockey stick brand. They also support lacrosse and ice hockey players. And it's really cool, to be able to connect with like athletes across sports as well. I know Northwestern has done a great job through their True NU program, connecting us with different opportunities to promote our name, image, and likeness. And honestly, I think as more companies and people start to learn about all of the opportunities that are available, more will pop up. And I think that really opens some new doors for field hockey athletes specifically.
And I suppose then you can go back home and have camps and kind of run private lessons, I suppose, right?
Yeah, that's actually a big way that a lot of us will kind of make some money in our free time whenever we're home, you know, just starting camps, clinics, kind of individual lessons, whatever is available. I already mentioned a lot of us coach down here anyways. So it's kind of a nice way to stay connected to field hockey and give back to, you know, the communities you came from, and also to promote your name, image, and likeness.
Do you have a job outside of coaching? I mean, I assume this is pretty much your 24-hour job is playing, but is there a way that you're kind of making side hustles or anything?
So outside of hockey, I did coach. I'm actually still enrolled as a student at Northwestern. So I was taking classes the past two semesters. But there are a couple girls on the team that have managed to balance jobs not related to hockey. That would probably be something that I would pursue once I've actually graduated and I move down here more permanently. But there are definitely opportunities available, and USA Field Hockey has been super supportive of, you know, us pursuing, you know, different jobs and careers while still being on the team.
Sure, sure. So how did the relationship with the national team begin? How did you make this team? When did it happen? Kind of when did you start down this path?
Yeah, so there's a general pathway and pipeline that started when I started playing some USA events when I was in sixth grade. And everybody kind of starts at like a different time. It's not like set, but I kind of made my way through the junior teams, U17, U19, U21. And then I was called up to join the practice squad my senior year of high school. And so I did that for a little bit until I unfortunately had an ACL injury. So that ended that. But in the summer of 2021 was when they, you know, renamed the team. They had like a different tryout. And that's when I made the team officially. So since then, I've been a member of the team, you know, from afar when I'm still in college, but I'm able to come in and train and go on tours with them. And obviously, I've had the support back home to be able to take this year off to pursue this Olympic dream.
2 months ago, the team qualified for Paris about 2 months ago. You were there. Have they named the roster yet, or is it just right now a position that's held and they will name it in the future?
Yeah, so the roster will be named sometime in June in the lead up to the Olympics. It's a little unfortunate because we were able to bring more people for the qualifier than we'll be able to participate in the actual games. But I mean, all of us have worked so hard to be here. I think it's just about really coming together as a team now. We can't, you know, afford to start thinking individually about selection. It's about, you know, competing and doing our best in Paris.
But on the other hand, too, you're trying to stay healthy. Obviously, you want to be you want an opportunity. I mean, are there still things you're trying to accomplish in this lead up to the Paris Games? Are there still goals you're trying to hit, thresholds you're trying to hit individually?
Yeah, absolutely. We actually, this is very convenient. We just had meetings today about, you know, how are we all physically preparing and like technically preparing for, you know, everything that's coming up. And obviously the end goal is Paris and performing well there. But we do have, you know, that series with Argentina coming up. And it's really about just more short-term goals and how are you setting yourself up for success in the short term so that that builds and kind of creates a platform that you can use to make the team, you know, make the roster and hopefully go to Paris.
How about the mental aspect of this? I mean, is that going to be a big factor? How are you preparing yourself? Is it easy for you to start thinking about Paris? Is that kind of the goal and aspiration, visualizing yourself on the field in Olympic Village, you know, doing the Olympic opening ceremonies, what have you? Or is that too overwhelming? Are you just trying to get through the week or just trying to get through the day? Maybe a combination of both.
I think it's definitely, it is a combination of both, because especially right after we qualified, there's all of that initial excitement and there still is that excitement, but now it's kind of transitioned into motivation. Like I have kind of visualized myself, you know, in Paris with the team, you know, representing USA. Okay. Now, like what steps do I have to take? Like, how can I prepare myself physically, emotionally, mentally, you know, to make that team? Because it is, even though the coach picks the team in the end, it's like you have control over what you do to give your best shot, you know, to like, you have to force them to want to pick you. So we do a lot of work with our team sports psychologist, and she's amazing at, you know, individual meetings, group meetings, kind of whatever we want to bring up. She's really good at talking us through that. We do talk about selection because it's a big part of what we do. You know, a lot of, like, we've all moved down here and given up a lot of stuff to train. And so the reality that you might not get picked is definitely something that we have to consider realistically. So that's something that, like, we mentally as a team and, like, individually one-on-one sessions have been discussing, you know, together. Because, I mean, unfortunately, it is kind of the reality of our situation as professional athletes.
I'm hearing that more and more across the sports. And I don't know if this was the Simone Biles effect, but a lot of these sports now, whether it's volleyball, whether it's swimming, are bringing in sports psychs to kind of talk about this exact moment, right? Like the preparation, the, you know, the trying to continue on with, you know, mental growth, as opposed to, oh my gosh, I had the worst day ever and I'm never going to make a team, and, you know, completely collapsing after that. So, has it been helpful for you?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, our coaches try to do the best they can with limiting the stress of selections. They like to refer to it as kind of, it's a moment in time. It doesn't define like who you are as a player. It's just like at this specific moment, you know, whether or not you're able to make a team. And I think because selections have been a part of all of our, you know, pathways through hockey for our entire lives, doesn't get any easier, but you definitely learn how to kind of cope with it. You can't, you know, you're going to drive yourself nuts if you just like dwell on like, am I going to make it or, you know, aren't I? So it's, yeah, it's definitely been something that you kind of, it's a skill that you have to hone a little bit. But that is exactly why, you know, they bring in our sports psychologists and we are able to communicate openly to the team about like our concerns and everything, which, you know, is a credit to like the culture that we've built here too.
Historically, how has U.S. done in field hockey in the Olympics?
In the Olympics, not too well. I think they've finished 12th in the 2012 Olympics. I know they finished 5th at 2016, which was our best ever, I think. Might want to fact check that. And then we didn't make the Olympics in 2020. So this has kind of been, we have a couple girls from that team who kind of went through not making it and now being part of the team that's qualified. And so, you know, I think obviously we want to go there and compete. Realistically, we are one of the lower ranked teams out of those going, but I mean, that just gives us more of an opportunity to be an underdog. Like, you know, nobody really expected us to qualify. Nobody expects us to, you know, do well. So it would be awesome to kind of prove them wrong. You know, we've put so much hard work and dedication into this. And we're definitely going to compete.
And that kind of probably changes your mindset a little bit. You're not, you know, on top of the hill looking down. You're actually trying to dethrone some people. It sounds like Argentina is one of the top teams.
Yeah. Argentina and the Netherlands. Netherlands is a number one right now. And they are number one by a considerable margin. So we actually were able to play them over in India for our pro league. And I mean, it's amazing to be able to play against them. It definitely, even though if we end up losing, every time, it definitely makes you a better hockey player. And I would choose to play a team like that over, you know, somebody that you might win and feel good about yourself, but, you know, maybe not pushing yourself as hard.
So is the team setting expectations? We want to finish. I mean, obviously you want to go out and perform your best, but is there a thought that, I mean, if you talk to the women's basketball team, it's gold or bust. Women's soccer, gold or bust. You know what I mean? You don't have that kind of pressure on you, but is there some kind of threshold you're trying to hit?
Yeah. So this is actually something that we haven't discussed as a team yet. Obviously, I think our team is a little more like process focused. That's like kind of what, because as soon as we get hung up on like outcomes and like, you know, if the outcome doesn't happen, then it's like, oh, it was all for nothing. Whereas we try to reframe it so that it's more about the process. And, you know, I think as we probably get closer, we're going to start putting like, okay, we want to make it out of our pool. We want to like go to a crossover game. But I think for us, in order for us to continue to improve through these next couple months, we need to just, you know, stay focused on like the process. I think that's honestly what helped us qualify. Obviously the end goal was qualification, but it was more, okay, in each game, here are the things that each of us are going to do as a team to, you know, keep moving forward and keep progressing. And I think that in doing that, instead of being like, oh my gosh, we have to score, we have to score, I actually think we played more relaxed. And that actually ended up benefiting us in that tournament.
What should the people who don't know much about field hockey like myself know when we're sitting down and watching for the first time?
Wow.
What do you tell people when they say, oh, field hockey, what's that?
Oh, man. It's so funny because people always ask, is field hockey really similar to ice hockey? And it is not. I would actually say it's a lot more similar to how soccer is played with the 11-a-side. It's a similar structure with your forwards, your midfielders, your defenders. Only difference is we're playing with a stick. And I know a lot of people are always like, there's so many whistles. Honestly, we don't know what half of the whistles are for either. So we just kind of have to go with the flow a little bit. You know, just have to play to what the refs are doing.
Very good. And what position do you play?
So I am actually a right back, but I play pretty high up the field. So I end up doing a lot of running up and down the field, basically kind of like a side mid, but I am a right back.
So is most of the training endurance training then? I mean, you've got probably have quick bursts as well. Are you doing a lot of weightlifting? What's the kind of the training regimen? Maybe it's a mixture of cross training.
Yeah. It's definitely a mixture. So we're focusing right now on getting back into hockey playing shape. We had a couple weeks off because we were in India for 2 months. So they gave our bodies a break, but now it's about, you know, kind of building that aerobic capacity. We're going to get into more speed stuff. We're lifting again. So, and a lot of the strength training that we do is like injury prevention, because they told us, you know, like the stronger you are, the less likely you are to get injured. So that's kind of the angle that our strength conditioning staff is coming from. And then, you know, as we build up, we'll kind of ebb and flow a little bit with the intensity. Obviously, we don't want to be burnt out by the time we get to Paris, but we do need to, you know, pick up the intensity with, you know, being able to play some of the top teams in the world. Can't go out there and be too slow.
Game day, what are your rituals? You got any food rituals, music rituals? How do you get yourself psyched up?
Yeah, I try honestly not to have too many like superstitious ritual things, because I think if something were to be messed up and I wasn't able to do something in like my ritual, then I think I would be a little thrown. So I try to keep it as simple as possible, you know, depending on whatever time the game is, like eat what I'm supposed to be eating beforehand. I always try to listen to music whenever, whether it's like out loud in the locker room, like dancing with my teammates, or, you know, just like by myself, like on the bus heading to the field. That's kind of our time to lock in. And then our team actually plays a lot of soccer circles. So we have a soccer ball that we bring with us on tour, and we just kind of try to juggle it between some of us as long as we can. We've slowly gotten better, but we should probably stick to field hockey.
Do you have a second sport? Were there any other sports that you played or sports that you're interested in? Follow?
Yeah, I actually, I played lacrosse all throughout my, you know, elementary, middle school, high school. You know, I considered for a bit playing both in college, field hockey and lacrosse, like my mom did. But at the end of the day, I knew that the national team for field hockey was something that I really wanted to pursue. And so I chose to focus on hockey, but I love watching lacrosse. My mom is a coach. She was my coach like all throughout my career. So we watch a lot of the college games. Obviously Northwestern has a phenomenal women's program, so it's really exciting to kind of be able to watch them play.
Sure. Will you be, I assume you'll be rooting for Northwestern basketball coming up here in the NCAA basketball tournament.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Paris before?
Yeah, I've never been to Paris before. I've been to Europe quite a few times, but hockey isn't as big in France as it is in Holland and Belgium, which is where we typically go. So I'm really excited. It's a really cool city. And I think, I mean, what better, you know, event to be going to Paris for?
Sure. Are there Olympic athletes that you would like to see if you are named to this team?
Wow. I was actually just messaging with Kelsey Bing, our goalkeeper, because she told me that Coco Gauff has just qualified for Paris. And I do have my Coco Gauff, like, US Open champion shirt that I bought. So I was like, I mean, I should probably bring it to Paris and, like, see if I can go find her and be like, hey. But I mean, it's just so cool that that's even an environment where I could go do that. You know, like, we're, you know, she's a phenomenal tennis player, but, like, you know, we're competing in the same, like, Olympic Games. Like, that's amazing that two athletes who, you know, are some of, like, the best in their sport are able to kind of be in the same place at the same time. Like, this would never happen any other time. So I really want to try to take advantage of that. Obviously stay focused, but I mean, it would be really, really cool to meet some of those other athletes.
Where can people follow you on social media if they want to keep up on what you're up to?
Yeah. So I have an Instagram account, Maddie.Zimmer. And then I do have a Twitter. It's Maddie_Zimmer16. Not as active there. So Instagram's probably the most likely one that people would want to follow. But yeah.
Thank you, Maddie. We'll continue to follow her journey leading up to the games. That'll do it for this episode of Quest for Gold. We'll be back next week. I'm Ryan Burrow. We'll see you then.